Underhill, for example, urges her readers to consider the public ministry of the mystic Catherine of Siena, 1347-80, who played a key role in reforming the papacy. No mean feat for a medieval woman of humble origin who died at the age of 33. She also exhorts, "Remember the humbler but not less beautiful and significant achievement of her Genoese namesake, Catherine of Genoa, the strenuous lives of St. Francis of Assisi, St. Ignatius, St. Teresa, outwardly cumbered with much serving, observant of an infinitude of tiresome details, composing rules, setting up foundations, neglecting no aspect of their business which could conduce to its practical success, yet altogether dwelling in God in restful fruition." Are not all of these supreme examples of the state in which the self, at last fully conscious, knowing reality because she is wholly real, pays her debt? However, it is true that mystics tend to understand social action somewhat differently from many others. They are wary of ideology because they typically view it as a false consciousness. Thomas Merton, 1915-68, a Trappist monk who was both a mystic and an interfaith ecumenist, counseled a young friend who was in danger of burning out in a struggle for peace. "It is so easy to get engrossed with ideas and slogans and myths that in the end one is left holding the bag, empty, with no trace of meaning left in it. And then the temptation is to yell louder than ever in order to make the meaning be there again by magic." Merton counseled his friend to approach his mission in a different way. "Gradually you struggle less and less for an idea and more for specific people. The range tends to narrow down, but it gets much more real. In the end, it is the reality of personal relationships that saves everything." Of course, if mystics are right about the nature of the universe, that is precisely what we should expect to find. The transpersonal does not reduce merely to the abstract, and the personal does not reduce merely to the material. We cannot escape or disprove ourselves, and so we must live with ourselves, come what may. Is godlessness moving from one end of the campus to the other? David Glenn, Chronicle of Higher Education. In 2005, Elaine Howard Eklund and Christopher P. Scheitel presented preliminary results from an ongoing study of the religious beliefs of 1,646 scholars at the 2005 annual meeting of the Association for the Sociology of Religion.